Now, you were in the military, Brother Chuck. I don't know. Who else here was in the military? Anybody? Besides Chuck and I? Okay. When you're planning a warfare, and you're going to attack a country, a city, or a town, what is the first thing you attack? Anybody have a guess? Communication center. You weren't in the military, were you?
No.
Oh, but you've been reading a lot. The communication center. That's the first thing you attack. You cut the line of communication, you got them. We're going to talk about prayer. And this is the lifeline. This is the communication center. And the enemy has been trying to destroy that communication thing. He have no problem with us studying and reading and talking about everything else. But man, he trembles when we get on our knees and pray. And that is the topic that we're going to talk about. And I really trust, I believe in my heart, that as a result of studying that topic, there will be a tremendous change in your life. There will be a tremendous change in your life. And you will learn the art of prayer. You learn what it is to wrestle with God. And you learn what it is to get things done. Brother Chuck is going to speak to us. Don't forget what I said about the boundaries that we have. And the name of the Lord Jesus that we desire to honor.
Well, I would like to welcome, and I guess I say especially, those that we have seen year after year. How good to look out and see that the Lord has brought you back again. And then to look around and to see new ones here this year for the first time. Our hearts are thrilled for you. I likewise believe, as Emil has expressed, that as the greatest change that ever came about in your life was that change when you were converted to God, you're going to see just that great of a change in your life as you learn the value of what prayer can mean for you. Prayer is as natural to the new man as air is to the body that we possess. What a wonderful thing to be able to communicate with the living God. And I say that word, and I use that word expressly. Prayer is not just asking. Prayer is not just a list of things. It is things. It is talking to the Lord about those things. But prayer is the expression of my life. That I live for, I belong to another, and He is everything to me. How important is it? I'll tell you something. The blessed man that we sang of tonight, that came, the Son of God, who became a man. Do you know? Do you know what we find him doing most in his life? More times than anything else, this is one that could speak to the winds. They were still. This is one that could speak during that storm when the disciples come and they wake the Lord up and say, "Lord, don't you realize we're perishing?" And he could say, "Peace. Be still." This is the one that constantly we find him alone in a mountain, apart, and we find that he is there praying. Every time we find the Lord about to go out, we look before he went and we see this blessed man gave us this wonderful example. He prayed. He was a dependent man. Do you know, I said to my wife as we traveled here today, if only, and I don't want to express to you that Emil and John and Tony and David and I and other older ones, that we are the masters in what we're speaking to you about. No, we are those that are learning every day in our lives, as you will, the value of beginning with prayer and not just ending with prayer. The experience of most of us is that we try to do whatever we can do on our own, and when it hasn't worked and we've come to a difficulty and we've come to an end that we can't surmount, then we say, "Lord, I guess I need to back up and I need to pray." And the Lord is turning around and saying, no, you've got it backwards. You needed to pray to begin with. You needed to pray first. And you would have saved yourself so many difficulties. What a wonderful lesson. If 10 young people left here this year and went home and for the next 12 months experienced the value of praying first, of seeking the Lord's mind, of seeking the Lord's will, of going to Him, not just for the little things. How many of us could lift our hands tonight and say, I have a major instance in my life this last year where I saw the Lord come in a wonderful way in prayer. I don't ask you to raise your hands, but I hope that we can all say that. That we've seen those times when the one that we have belonged to, He has done the impossible. He's done what we didn't think was probable, but we took it to Him. And we found out the truth. That this one is the one to whom all power in heaven and earth has been given unto. And He has a personal interest in your life. I want to say that again. He has a personal interest in the life of every young person in this room. It's sad to say that we sang also tonight of the great fact that there is an enemy and he has an interest in your life too. If you aren't saved and you're at this conference this year, we're thankful you're here. His goal is to take you to the pit. That's His goal. He's going to take you, if you continue in the way that you're in, to a place that was never prepared for man to go. Was prepared for Satan and his angels. And He is dead set on taking you there. And if you don't belong to Jesus tonight, you're right in His hand. And we've prayed. We've prayed for you that at this young people's conference that you might find and know deliverance from that one. But you know, it isn't just unbelievers that Satan is after. He has an ambition and he has a goal. And it is very simple. He can't take your eternal life. But he can destroy your testimony. He can destroy your testimony. He can take your life as you yield to him instead of to Christ. And he can lead you into hardship and sorrow and bondage. And it doesn't have to be that way. It's not the Lord's intention. What a happy meeting. What a happy subject we have this year. And you know, if I focus first of all upon the Lord Jesus, and I see Him as the great example for me, I come then, and I look at His disciples, and the word that we have in the outline. And they said, Lord, to pray. I don't know. Do you feel the need for that? Teach me. Teach me, Lord, what it means to bring everything to Thee. To have no secrets, no compartments, no areas of my life where I say, Lord, I'm sorry, that's off limits for you. I can't pray about that because my conscience is not clear about that. I'm not able. No. We have none of those in our lives. If we're of the spirit of the disciples that said, Lord, teach us. Teach us to pray. I'm going to read a verse that I expect before we get into just some points in the outline. I'm going to set a principle before us this evening. Philippians 4. And I'll tell you what. Let's just quote this. Don't look at it in your Bible. How many of us here can quote this verse? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Isn't it something? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't it something? It's a verse that I dare say the most of us in this room said as children in Sunday school years and years ago. But I want to tell you something about this verse. I may be able to recite it. I may be able to write it. I may be able to diagram it. I may be able to do everything about this verse, but if I don't practice verse 6, I'll never have the benefit of verse 7. Verse 7 does not stand on its own. I want to say that again. Verse 7, what did we say? The peace of God which passeth all understanding. You say, I'd like that. I really would desire that in my life. And yes, my heart and my mind kept through Christ Jesus. Dear young people, I can't start on verse 7. I must, and it's a delight to start, and I'm thinking of this as our subject in principle, with verse 6. To be anxious? Are you telling me that that's what that word means? That I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, am to be anxious for nothing. I didn't say that. The Spirit of God says it to you and I. Be anxious for nothing, but in what? What can't I bring to the Lord? I want to ask you something. Do you have anything in your life? Your work? Your school? Does everybody here have a good relationship with your mother? Everybody here have a good relationship with your father? How about with your brothers and sisters? How about in the meeting at home? What can't I take to Him? Is there a daunting problem? Is there something that's nagging? In a group this size, I have no doubt that there are areas of our lives that we're crying for help in. Where are we going for it? Where are you going to find help? Paul said, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. The Lord says to you and I, in fact, He says, I've given you a throne of grace. I don't want you to come timidly to that throne. I don't want you to come in that way. I want you to come boldly to my throne, that you might find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly under the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help. Young people, I know Emil's old. And Tony, we're older ones. David, we once were young. It wasn't easy when we grew up. But I will freely confess to you, I didn't grow up in a world you're in. I grew up in a world when you got a paddling at school for chewing gum. I don't know, does anybody say anything to you about gum at school today? Unheard of. Things have changed. Do you know what? They haven't gotten better. They're just getting worse and worse and worse. I need one who can support, who can strengthen, who can encourage, who can lift me up, who can guide me, who can tell me to go this way, or who can say, no, don't go that way. I want you to go this way. Who can say, I have this for you, my child. This is my will for you in your life at this time. I want to ask you something. Does that sound desirable? That's what this is about tonight. He's given us the word to read. And then he's given us the privilege of speaking to himself in prayer. Now, how many of you think that you would have a good relationship with your mother or dad if the only time you ever talked to them is when you needed something? How many here are like that? Never any communication except, Mom, I'm hungry. Dad, I need money. Dad, I need the car. Mom, I need this. How many times is our prayer life like that? That the only time we go to the Lord is when, in fact, we have something that we think we need, and we know that He, according to His will, I would say, could provide it. You'd say, well, that's really not the kind of a relationship I would like with my Lord. What a wonderful thing. Giving thanks. I hope we learn this week, young people, what a wonderful thing it is to give thanks unto the Lord. And immediately your mind perhaps goes to the breaking of bread. And I understand that, and I agree that that's a wonderful time to thank the Lord Jesus for what He's done, that He's given His life for us. But there's many things that it's not appropriate to address the Lord in thanksgiving for at the breaking of bread. What about those things? What about everyday life? Thank the Lord for my parents. Thank the Lord for our home. Thank the Lord for His provision. Thank Him for our brethren, our sisters. Thank Him for the assembly. I laid down Christmas night. And you know, I was overwhelmed as I thought what Karen and I have to be thankful. For those that don't know us, we have 4 kids and we have 4 grandkids. And the Lord has blessed us. And we're conscious of that. And we say it to one another all the time. I wonder if we say it enough to the Lord. Lord, I thank You for what You have done for me. Well, you see, what a broad, wonderful subject we have in the subject of prayer. We're going to be looking this week. We're going to be looking at those in their personal life and how prayer changed the circumstances they were in. Sometimes God elects to do that. Sometimes He looks and says, old man is having a tough time. I'm going to fix those circumstances so he won't feel the pressure. And sometimes He says, no, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to change Ben. I'm going to change that sister. I'm going to give them the strength to endure for my name's sake and for my testimony. We're going to look at those that found this. We're going to look at others that were given things. Do you know what? They were given things that they didn't ask for because God took notice of what they did ask for. Can I say that again? We're going to look at a man that God gave him things that he didn't ask for because God took notice of what he did ask for. How important is prayer? We're going to look at others that were faced with extinction. They would be gone. There was nothing they could do. And the Lord says to them, I was waiting till you realize that. I've known it all along. How many times is it like that in our life? Where the Lord comes along and says, you know, I knew that that was true. I've been waiting for you to see that. I've been waiting for you to see. There was nothing you could do. We're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to see the assembly in prayer for a man whose head was about to be cut off. the next day. One had already died. I want to say that. One had already been put to death. And this other man was there sleeping between two soldiers waiting for his execution. And saints were praying. Is prayer important? Emil has said sometimes, and we've focused a lot over the last years, we've focused a lot on the importance of the written word of God. Now we want to bring this in and see that that which accompanies God speaking to me through his word is the other side when the Spirit helps you and I in our communication with God himself, with the God of glory, and with our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk a couple of days. We could talk a couple of months, couldn't we? But I would say again, I remember a conference years ago at Grove City where the brother that was speaking said that he was in his study and the door was closed and it was quiet. And there was a little rap on the door. And he went over and opened the door and his little girl was there. And she said, "Daddy, can I come in?" He said, "Well, yes, honey." And she came in. And she just sat down. And he says, "Well, is there something you want?" And she looked at him and said, "Daddy, I just wanted to talk to you. I just wanted to be with you." You see, these are all of the aspects of the communion and the enjoyment and the fellowship that is ours and that the Lord wants it to be. I want to ask you tonight. I want you don't have to answer me. But I want to ask you at the beginning of this conference, how about your prayer life? Don't answer me. Answer the Lord. Is it what it should be? Do you spend time talking with him? The answer is no. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord has brought you here. It isn't an accident. It isn't a chance that he's brought you here where we're going to look, and I trust that we're going to grow. We're going to be helped. Not perhaps so much as I sit here at the conference, but as I go home from this place and I begin by the grace of God to apply the principles that we're going to look at this week. I jotted down a few things in this little booklet on the book of Acts. And I just thought it's a wonderful thing to take notice of these. It's 5 after. I'll quit in maybe 10 minutes. I want you to go back in your mind's eye. This is on, they're not, numbers aren't. "Lord Teaches to Pray" is the headline at the top. Acts chapter 1, verse 24 begins, "One must be chosen to take the place of Judas." What do we see the disciples doing? Do we see them with a list evaluating and looking at various ones that would be a choice, or this or that or the other? And they prayed. One must be chosen. And the disciples said, "Lord, we're not able to make this choice without coming to you in prayer." The disciples prayed. Difficulties have arisen. Is there anybody here that doesn't have any difficulties in your life? You probably won't need this conference. Most of us do. Most of us know a little something about that hymn that spoke of suffering and times of weeping and problems. And the Lord has enjoined us in those very things to bring them to him, to come and talk to him about them. Here were difficulties. Difficulties had arisen. The disciples are threatened. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Young people, when they had prayed, not before, did God not know the difficulties before they prayed? Did he not know of the threatening before they lifted their voice to him? Why didn't the Lord shake the house before that? He was waiting. He was waiting for them to see that they needed him. How often? I think he's doing the same with us. It says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Now that's literally. The place was shaken. And look at the difference in these dear believers. They spake the word with boldness. Go to chapter 6. The seven men are chosen to wait on tables. The apostles say, listen, there's something we need to be doing. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Dear young brothers, that's not backwards. That's the order God would expect us to serve him in. Prayer, prayer, and then the ministry of the word. Verse chapter 7, Stephen ends his life. God has used this man in a mighty way. His life is over, but he's not finished praying. And the Spirit of God records that here is Stephen calling upon God. As the stones are thrown, and as the life of this man is battered out of him, he is a man that is praying. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I think of what Emil said before. That here was a man that was just like the one that he served morally. This is what prayer does, isn't it? This is occupation with him. Chapter 9, Ananias is sent to find Paul. What's he look like? What color of clothes does he have on? What color of robe is the man wearing? What are the physical descriptions of this man? I find nothing about that. Ananias, you will find this man, and you will know who it is by just this. Behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. It is that which is as natural to the new man as breathing and eating is to the man in the flesh. The great question for my heart and yours tonight, is it that way with me? What a change, I'll tell you, you'll find in your life when I say, Lord, help me this year at Winter Youth Conference to see what it means to pray, to learn to pray. Dorcas, Peter kneeled down and prayed. Chapter 10. Cornelius. What was he known for? What did God say has come up for memorial before me? Cornelius. He prayed to God always. Thy prayers are come up before a memorial before God. You mean? Yes. He hears. He remembers. He takes account of. He never forgets. He never forgets what we've said to him in prayer. He never forgets our commitments. He's always there. And you know, the Lord is preparing Cornelius. But at the same time, the Lord is sending Peter to school. And how's he doing it? Is he doing it through a textbook? Peter, these are the things right here? No. Peter was in a trance. And you remember the sheep that is let down from heaven three times. And the Lord says to Peter, Peter, don't you call that uncommon which I have cleansed in prayer. Peter is prepared to meet Cornelius. In prayer, Cornelius is prepared to meet Peter and the gospel given to the Gentiles. We'll look at this chapter 12. That's part of the conference this week. We want to look at the time when Peter was in prison and the men of this world and the authorities were doing all that they could do. But you know what they didn't know? They didn't know that saints were praying. They had no idea of the value of prayer. And we'll look at that account and see that an angel appears and that the chains fall off of this man. You guys that are in physics in school, you stop and think about that a minute. Have you ever seen anybody that the chains just fell off his arms? This is the God that we belong to. Prayer was made without ceasing of the assembly unto God for him. Chapter 16. Here are God's servants. And they have been beaten. They have been beaten with many stripes. They have been put into the inner stocks. There has been the instruction given, be sure they don't get away. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They prayed. And they sang praises unto God. My, do you know something? There was a man that was listening. I dare say there were many that were listening that night. What kind of people are these men? We've beaten them. We've thrown them into the inner stocks. And these men are praising their God. They soon found out, didn't they? When the earthquake came, and so on. Chapter 20, the Ephesian elders. He says, he gave them instructions. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. We would remember that. And it says, he kneeled down and he prayed with them all. You see, the book of Acts is all about prayer. The book of Acts is prayer from the beginning to the end. Chapter 27. When he had thus spoken bread, Paul on the vessel, we know that account. He took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. These people were not friendly toward the gospel. They were not friendly toward the word of God. But there was a man of God who bore testimony for God in front of all that were there. And it didn't matter whether they wanted to listen or not. He knew that his line of communication that Emil was talking about, he knew that that line of communication to the God of glory was prayer. And he spoke to the Lord in prayer. Oh, may the Lord help us leave here Saturday morning with somewhat of this spirit burning in our hearts. Lord, teach me to pray. The last example was after the shipwreck. Paul entered in and prayed, and he healed the man. Young people, our Lord said this in Luke. Men ought always to pray. Did you know there's an option? Did you know the Lord gave another option there? There's only one. And not to faint. Pray or faint. That's what he set before them. Do you think it's a subject that we need sharpened up a bit on? As old as I am, or as young as you are, we don't, any of us, have any of this mastered, but the Lord will teach us every day in everything we do. I like to tell you, in your work, in your school, in your exams, Emil's a vice president of a company. He's got problems with the milk. I'm a salesman. I don't know where to go to find customers. The Lord says, I know where they are, Chuck. Why don't you just ask me and I'll show you. And Tony has a job on Wall Street. John has a job, you see, in the lumber yard. They all have different things. And the Lord says to you and I, in all of these things, as well as in your assembly life, as well as in your personal life, as well as in your family life, He says, I'll tell you something. I am available. Do you know what else He says? I have time for you. I have an open ear. The great question, do I have time for this? Well, we trust that the answer is a resounding yes. We trust if there are young people here this year and you don't know this Jesus, you don't know anything about what we're speaking of, we want to talk to you. We can't save you, but we can take you by the hand and we can bring you to the one who can save you. We'll tell you that. This is not for you if you don't belong to Christ. The prayer that the Lord Jesus will hear from you is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the beginning. I would also say to young people who are here who are believers, there are a lot of us here who are a little older. And if you have an issue, you have a concern, you dislike to talk to somebody, we make ourselves gladly, for Jesus' sake, your servant. We'd like to help you. And I speak on behalf of me, Karen, Stella, Linda, any of the brothers that we've mentioned here. If there's any way we can help you this week, we want to do so. Well, I trust that you'll spend time tonight praying. Praying for these readings, but praying for each of our own individual conditions before Him, that the Lord would use these readings to help us when we go home. I'll just commit us to the Lord.